Hallelujah. To Psalm 67 in 2 Chronicles 20. And even as Barbara gave you a heads up earlier during the offering, we're going to be going to the book of Job today as well. Amen. You're going to be blessed today. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But then again, you're blessed every time you come. You know why? You know why? Because I don't give you my opinion. I don't tell you, thus saith Pastor John. You don't need my opinion. It'll get you in trouble. You don't need what I think. It'll get you in trouble. You need the Word of God. And we give you the Word of God, the precious, holy, written Word of God, the only living book in existence. Right here, the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Say, I believe the Bible.
I believe the Bible.
In Jesus' name. From the publisher's name in the front to the maps in the back, I believe the book. Amen. Now look at the book right here in Psalm 67, if you would. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, God's a good God. I love my Father. Amen. I'm not ashamed of Him. Amen. When everyone else stepped out, my big brother Jesus stepped in. Amen. When everybody else walked out, my big brother Jesus walked in. I am not ashamed of Jesus. Amen. I will preach boldly to the day He returns or I die, whatever comes first. Amen. Hallelujah. I encourage you, do the same. Because you're going to spend eternity based upon how effectively you shared the gospel while you were in this earth. I see some of the rookies around here. I sent you to Psalm 67. The pros, no, don't read it till we get there. The rookies is kind of taking a sneak peek. That's all right. Amen? You rookies will learn. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just a little pulpit humor. Very little from Sister Barbara over here. Look right here in Psalm 67. Let's read right here. Verse 5. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him, or come to have an awesome respect for Him, such as we have an awesome respect for Him. Amen. The Bible says when we praise God, the earth will yield her increase, and God, oh, I love this part, even my own God sees my God. He's your God. He's our God. And He said if we'll praise Him, He will bless us. Say, He's my God.
He's my God.
He's my Father.
He's my Father.
Jesus is my brother. And the Holy Spirit is my teacher and my comforter. Such a deal. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says when we praise Him, the earth will yield her increase and He personally will see to it that we're blessed. That's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about the power of praise. I want to talk to you about the miraculous and praise. Amen. There is a time to fast and pray. But there's also a time to eat and praise God. Did you hear that? There's a time to fast and pray. We believe in fasting and prayer. And we're going to be talking about it here in the next couple of weeks, I'm sure. There is a time to fast and pray. But there's a time to eat and believe God. There's a time to eat and praise God. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 in your Bible, if you would. Praise is the highest expression of faith. Praise and worship, opening our mouths and praising and worshiping God. There is no higher expression of faith than to praise God and to worship God. It is the highest expression of our faith. Do you get that in your notes? Now, you're going to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, amen? Here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I'll just give you a quick update on what's going on here. The Amorites and the Moabites are coming against the children of Israel, and Israel's greatly outnumbered. And Jehoshaphat got word that they were coming to wipe them off the face of the earth, the Moabites, the Amorites, and the children of Seir. Coming to wipe them off the face of the earth. The very people whom God had told Israel, don't you bother them. Israel never bothered them. And now they're coming to bother Israel. Jehoshaphat didn't know what to do. They were greatly outnumbered. So Jehoshaphat called a fast before God, cried out to God, and reminded God of Solomon's prayer when Solomon built the temple. He said, God, you promised if anyone ever came against us, you'd protect us. If sword or famine, war ever came against us, you promised us that you would be there to protect us. And God was scared. We're scared. So he was afraid. We don't know what to do. He said, we're here with our wives and our children and our little ones, our infants, and we're greatly outnumbered. What are we to do, God? If you don't intervene, it's over, Big Daddy. I say that respectfully. Amen. And God knows my heart. Amen. He was freaked. And you would be too. If the Amorites and the Moabites and the children of Seir were coming after you, there were tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of them. And look right here. We'll pick it up right here in verse 12. Oh, Jehoshaphat is still praying here. Oh, our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that comest against us. Neither do we know what to do. Did you ever not know what to do? But our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And then Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, the Spirit of prophecy. And God answered through the prophet and said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid. So first thing you're going to have to do if you need God's help is get out of fear. That's what Betty's been ministering to us. Amen. Get out of fear. Say this with me now. Say, no fear.
No fear.
In Jesus' name.
In
Jesus. Say, fear go.
Fear go.
In Jesus' name. And when fear strikes you like a flood and you're off all alone and I'm not here to shout and preach at you, you're going to have to open your mouth and say, fear go in Jesus' name. I will not fear.
Amen.
Say it again now. I will not fear. Hallelujah. That's what the Lord told them. Number one, numero uno, get out of fear. Don't be dismayed by reason of the great multitude. Don't be moved by what you see, as the Lord told Helen's friend when she came, her daughter came out of surgery and she looked like she's dead. And the Lord said, don't be moved by what you see. I've already wrought a mighty work.
Amen.
Amen. And he certainly did. Amen. As Helen described this morning. Amen. Be not afraid or dismayed by reason of the great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Look up here. Everybody go, whew. Aren't you glad the battle's not yours, it's the Lord's. He said if we'll praise him, he'll bless us. He'll take care of every need, from the littlest one to the biggest one. If we'll do a little thing and praise him in the time of need, he'll do a big thing and bless us in the time of need. We're going to see it happen here, amen? The battle's not yours, but God's tomorrow. Go ye down against them. Behold, they'll be coming up by the cliff as is, and you'll find them at the end of the brook. little warfare strategy from the Holy Ghost right here, sneaking up on them. Amen? Telling them where they're going to be before the wilderness of Jeruel. Does anybody know what gifts of the Spirit that is right there? Revealing where they're going to be tomorrow? Word of wisdom. The word of wisdom is a supernatural. That's a nice try. It's okay. You're close. Amen. The word of wisdom is a supernatural revelation from the mind of God, having to do with people, places, things, or events, always having to do with the future. The word of knowledge always has to do with the past or the present. There's only three tenses in time. The word of wisdom and the word of knowledge deal with all three. The word of knowledge is a supernatural revelation from the mind of God, having to do with people, places, things, or events, always concerning the past or the present. He said tomorrow they'll be at the cliff Ziz. So that's a word of wisdom. It has to do with the future. The word of wisdom doesn't mean you have great wisdom of the Bible. That is not what the word of wisdom is. If you don't know what the nine gifts of the Spirit are, we won't give you any demerits today. Amen? You need to take one of these and you need to know, learn, study, understand, and even memorize all nine gifts of the Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. All of them. We're running out. Who didn't get one of these? Amen? Hallelujah. We are a teaching church. We are a Word and a Spirit church. We teach God's Word and we demonstrate His Spirit. So, you won't read that now, will you?
No.
Hallelujah. You put that away and you take that home and that's your devotional for the next week. In 1 week's time, you can do what I did in 1 week's time nearly 30 years ago when I found out about the gifts of the Spirit. I memorized every one of them. What they are and what they do. And we just discovered right here that the Holy Spirit said they're going to be coming up by the cliff Ziz tomorrow, future. Word of wisdom. Amen. We'll talk more about the gifts of the Spirit later. We got the whole series out there on the table. Amen. If you're interested. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Oh, what a relief. Set yourselves. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. Amen? God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us power, love, and a sound mind. Amen? A stable, balanced mind. When all hell breaks out against you, open your mouth and say it with me, I will not fear. Just hold steady. The battle's not yours. It's the Lord's. Amen? Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. I bet he did. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord for the word of protection he just promised them. Amen. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa, just as the prophet told them by the Spirit of God. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, okay, everybody stop and listen before we go. O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. And he gave a 28-word charge. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. He said it's vitally important that we believe the word the prophet gave us yesterday or it won't come to pass. It's so important when God gives you a word that you believe it and that you don't doubt it and that you wage warfare with it by speaking it forth in your life. Jehoshaphat said, believe in the Lord thy God and you shall be established. Now believe in his prophets, and so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, look at what he did. He appointed Patriot missiles, bazookas, and blunderbuss rifles. Was that what that says in your Bible? He appointed what? Singers. That seems a little light in the loafers to me. How about you? At a time of combat? Singers? Well, the Lord knows what He's doing. And those who should praise the beauty of His holiness. And they went out before the army. And to say, praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. The only ambushments that the Lord could have sent in this case would be angels of God, because Israel didn't go against them. God told them, you're not going to fight in this battle. God sent ambushments. He sent the angels of God who brought confusion to Israel's enemy, and they began to fight amongst themselves. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against their buddies, the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. They all killed one another. Do you see that? Through the power of praise. It drives the devil bonkers when you praise God. It renders confusion. It sends confusion into his camp. He doesn't know what to do. It disarms him. It destroys him. It disables him. Say, I will not fear. You're going to need this word, some of you, just in the days immediately ahead of you. Some of you need it now. You came here in fear. Say it again. I will not fear. You watch how that works for you when fear comes against you and tries to push you against the wall. Open your mouth and say, I will not fear, in Pastor John's name. Whose name?
Jesus.
Jesus' strong name. That spirit of fear will go right off you, and the wisdom of God will move upon you. You begin to praise Him. He'll show you what to do. Amen? He's a delivering God. Jesus is our liberator, deliverer, no matter what you find yourself up against. Begin to praise Him. He'll move supernaturally in your midst. Amen? And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and no one escaped. You don't want to come against Israel. You'll come under what Zechariah called the little pieces curse. God will see to it personally that you get chopped into little pieces, finer than the Vegematic. Remember the Vegematic? Hallelujah. Now, I know you wouldn't come against Israel. Amen. I'm telling you, Israel and Jerusalem is a golden bowl full of vipers, and anybody who puts their hands in there dies. Amen. And do you know you have a covenant with God just like Abraham? And God said to Abraham in Genesis 12:3, He said, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. Anyone comes against you, spirit being or human being, anyone comes against you, they come against your covenant with the Almighty, and they come against the Almighty, and the battle will go from yours to His. Amen. He will protect you. God told Abraham, anyone comes against you, I take it personal. And the Bible says, the blessings of Abraham are yours in Christ. So God's saying to you today, anyone comes against you, I take it personal. I will respond. They will either judge themselves or they will be judged. You just keep walking in love towards your enemies. Amen? It's not your job to judge them. It's your job to bless them and forgive them. Pray godly sorrow for them. If they won't repent, God will judge them. But that's not your job. Amen? Say, God is for me. And I feel really good about that. Hallelujah. Now look right here, dead bodies everywhere. In verse 25, when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil, it was so much. That's reason number two why we call ourselves the gathering. The first reason we call ourselves the gathering is because Jesus said, when two or more gather together in my name, there I am in the midst of you. The second reason, I'm just making this up right now. The second reason is because when Satan comes against us, we praise God. God goes to battle for us. God grabs him by the ankles, flips him upside down, empties his pockets and says, now pick it all up, it's yours. It made Barbara happy. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, these people did this through the power of praise. This all happened through the power of praise. There's no higher expression of faith than the power of praise. There's a time to fast and pray, and there's a time to eat and praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That'll hold you right there till Jesus comes. There's enough revelation in what I just shared with you right there to hold you till Jesus comes. Amen. The Bible says when we praise Him, when we take up our battle stations of praise, the earth will release her increase on our behalf, and God, even God Himself, will bless us. Say, oh, I praise you, God. Lift your hands and say, oh, God, I praise you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He is a good God. The Bible says in Psalm 22:3, even as the Lord said, through the tongues in interpretation this morning, He inhabits the praises of His people. Now Psalm 22:3 says He inhabits the praises of Israel. But if He inhabits the praises of Israel or Abraham, He inhabits the praises of believers, Christian believers in Christ, because the Bible says if you are Christ's, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the same promise. You need God to show up on the scene? Start praising Him. Stop griping and moaning and whining and complaining. People who praise receive far more proficiently than people who perpetually pummel God with petitions. Peter Piper picked a peck of pick. People who praise receive far more proficiently from God than people who perpetually pummel Him with petitions. There comes a time to stop petitioning. Stop praying. Stop fasting. Start eating and start praising.
Amen.
God will show up on the scene. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10 and 11, that these things are written in the Old Testament for our example and for our admonition, for us to learn something from them. Amen. You know, Israel didn't get into the promised land. The majority of the nation of Israel didn't get into the promised land. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 13 and in Numbers chapter 14, because they perpetually griped instead of perpetual praising. They griped about the food. They said, we are so stinking sick of this stinking bread, manna. Manna from heaven, provided supernaturally by a loving God, and all they could do was complain about it. All they could do was complain about Aaron and Moses and the leadership and the elders, and they didn't get in. Numbers chapter 21, we jump up from Numbers 13 and 14 to Numbers 21, we find Israel griping again. We don't like the pastor. We don't, it was Moses. They complain constantly. Finally, in Numbers chapter 21, they complained so much, they began to be bitten. Millions of them being bitten and poisoned by fiery serpents or stinging vipers. That's why I always say, the gripers get the vipers. Amen? If all you want to do is badmouth and poor mouth and complain and gripe and whine and moan, you don't want to do that. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's not talk about griping. Let's go back and talk about praising. Amen? We see what happens when we praise God. He inhabits the praises of His people. You know, Job, religion uses Job. We've all heard of Job. Amen? Religion uses Job as an example of someone who had just nothing but terrible problems. But the Bible presents Job as a man who had awesome solutions in God. Amen? Now, we can't go in and explain everything that happened in Job's life. But if you want to go to our website, we went in and explained everything that happened in Job's life on the homepage of johnhamelministries.org. We're not promoting a website, we're promoting God's Word. On the homepage, left side, scroll down. And there's an article on there called Understanding Job's Suffering. The Refreshing Truth for a Change. The Refreshing Truth for a Change. Job suffered tremendously. He opened the door to it himself. The Bible says, and you know, God gets the heat for what happened to Job, and God didn't do it. The Bible says in Job chapter 2, verse 7, and Satan went from the presence of the Lord and smote Job, meaning his entire household. You put that in your notes, Job 2, 7. It says right in your Bible that Satan did it. I've heard preachers get up and preach, God did it. God didn't do it. He offered the same sacrifice for his children continually in unbelief. Let me just tell you this. We're going to go to Job chapter 1 here in a moment. Job was a contemporary of Abraham. Their lives overlapped. And you know what that means? It means he lived before Moses. It means he didn't have the books of the law. It means he didn't have a Bible. He had nothing to go by. He's just doing his best, trying to live for God, out there hacking around in the storms of life, all alone with no instruction book. He did pretty darn good for somebody who had no written communication from God. And look what happened right here in Job chapter 1, when fire came down, lightning, the devil attacked him. Because he got into a little bit of unbelief in his life, fire came down from heaven, consumed his property, killed his kids, took all of his cattle, knocked him right out of commission, covered him with boils. Look at what Job did right here in verse 20, when he got the evil report of what just had happened to his entire house. All 10 of his kids were killed by the devil. He was the wealthiest man in the East, and the devil had his neighbors come and steal his cattle, his camels, his sheep, burn his real estate. That's bad news. Look at what Job did. Verse 20. This is how he reacted. Job arose and rent his mantle, his clothing, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground and cursed God. And said he worshipped God. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. For the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Praised him again, blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Now Job said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, as a statement of unbelief. He had no book like you do. We know the Lord doesn't give and take away. Jesus said the thief came to kill, to steal, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Job said that in unbelief because he didn't have John 10:10 like you do. That's why the next verse 22 says, in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly, meaning God didn't hold it against him because he knew he was speaking in ignorance. God doesn't hold us accountable for what we don't know. Job didn't know that God wasn't doing this when he blamed God. But one thing he did do right was he worshipped God in spite of it. Do you see that? And to make a long story short, if you'll go to the very back of the book with me right now, to Job chapter 42. Job chapter 42. We're studying the Bible. Don't you like turning to these books with me? Reading it for yourself? You go to the website and read that article on Job. It's full of insight that the Lord gave me concerning the life of Job, right out of the scripture. Amen? Now you're over there in Job 42. Amen? And I'm going to look at this with you. Job chapter 42. You just bear with me. I'm looking for some verses here. Hallelujah. Somebody said to me one time, well, I'm just suffering for God. I'm God's Job. How long you been suffering? About 7 years now. I said, then you're not God's Job. Well, what do you mean? Well, Job's suffering ended in 9 months. If you're really God's Job, your suffering would have ended 6 years and 3 months ago. Or whatever it was. Amen? Hallelujah. People take the book of Job out of context and use it to blame God for things God doesn't do. Job worshipped God. In his ignorance of Scripture, he had no Scripture. He worshipped God, even though at times he wrongly blamed God for what happened. God didn't hold that against him because he didn't know, but God accepted his praise and God accepted his worship. He had three friends come to him, all of them blaming God for what was going wrong. Finally, God spoke out, and we're going to look at it here in Job chapter 42. Finally, God spoke out of that stinking, sniveling, griping, complaining, lying, false accusation mess, and he said, "Who is this that speaks of me without knowledge?" "You're all wrong," he said, "I'm not doing it. But my man Job here worshipped me, and even though he thought I was doing it to him and I wasn't, he worshipped me. And now because he did," I'm talking about the power of praise and worship. I'm telling you, there comes a time to stop fasting and praying, and there comes a time to start eating and praising God. And you'll get what Job got. Look what God told Job in Job 42:10. He said, "You pray for those deadbeat friends of yours, and I'll bless you here." Job chapter 42. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You just bear with me. Amen. Say, "Lord, help the pastor." Tell him where to go. And God knows you mean that the right way. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at Job 42:10. It says, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." Now, Job was already the wealthiest man in the East. Now, you don't want to go back and look now, but you can make a note of this. In Job 1:3, it tells you exactly how many camels Job had, how many sheep he had, how many oxen he had, and how many children he had. He started out with. Look at right here in verse 12 of chapter 42. And later you go look at Job 1:3. "So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning." Say, "The rest of my life will be the best of my life. Because I will praise him even in adversity." So he gave him more than he had at the beginning. "For he had 14,000 sheep." If you go and look at Job 1:3, you'll find he started out with 7,000 sheep. 7 and 7 is 14. He doubled his sheep because he praised him in adversity. "And 6,000 camels." Job 1:3 says he had 3,000 camels when this happened to him. Now he's got 6. "And 1,000 yoke of oxen." Job 1:3 says he started out in this mess with 500 oxen. "And 1,000 she-asses." They were more valuable than he-asses or donkeys because they gave milk. He started out with 500 she-asses. Now he's got 1,000. Can you see God's the blessing, not the dammer? Can you see when we praise him, he'll multiply us? And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He lost 10 children, and God gave him back 10 children. Somebody said, "Well, why he doubled all of his animals, why didn't he double his children?" Because he's the blesser. I said, "Because he's the blesser, 10 will do." God knew, Job thought, 10 will do. I don't need 20 more kids, Lord. Amen? I'll take the 10 that I lost. Amen? Hallelujah. It just shows you God's a good God. He didn't stick him with 20 more. Can you see that Job fell down and worshipped God, even when he thought God was damning him? And God didn't hold that against him in his ignorance, because he didn't have a Bible like you do to show that God's the blesser, not the damner. And by the time the whole thing ended, 9 months later, through the power of praise, God doubled Job, and the Bible says in Job chapter 1, he's already the wealthiest man in the East in his day. Oh, the power of praise. You get anything out of that? It'll happen for you. It'll happen for me. That's why we're God praisers and not gripers. Amen? There comes a time to fast and pray, and then there comes a time to eat and praise God. Amen? Praise is the language of faith. Amen? Hallelujah. Go over here. You know, oh, praise the Lord. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 8:6 that Jesus is the mediator of a better covenant established upon better promises. If this worked that well for Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel, if it worked that well for Job, how much more will it work for us? Those, they weren't even his children. They were his servants, Israel. They weren't his children. Job wasn't his son. He was his servant. We are his children, his boys and girls. He's our daddy. Now, I don't call God daddy. That's a carnal term, but you understand what I'm saying. He says to call him father. Jesus said to call him father. Amen? We're his children. We have a better covenant. Praise will work better for us than it will for them, than it did for them, if we'll just apply it. Amen? I notice it's coming back right around here to Cape Cod, too. Spiritual warfare. Fighting the devil. When your time spent fighting the devil is time that would be better spent praising God. I stood right outside that door one day, and a woman came into this service, and we preached a nice, strong, wonderful word of faith message. And I had met her for the first time after the service, standing outside that door. And I said, "So how are you today?" And she said, "I'm in warfare." I said, "You're in warfare?" She said, "I'm in warfare with the devil this week." And I thought, well, I'm really sorry to hear that because I'm praising God this week. Amen. And I stood there and I explained to her, you can't do with the devil what Jesus has already done. The Bible says Jesus has done all the warfare that's necessary with the devil. Doesn't the Bible say he came to destroy the works of the devil? Did he get the job done or is he just a sloven loser? I mean, come on. He came to destroy the works of the devil. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:6 that he has brought to naught, zero, to nothing, the princes of this world. That's Satan and demon powers. The Bible says in Colossians 2:15 that he has openly triumphed over Satan and demon powers. They're already defeated. We don't have to do warfare with the devil. We don't have to be in warfare with the devil. The spiritual warfare lie is coming back to Cape Cod. It's already on the Cape through certain ministries, teaching spiritual warfare, pulling down demonic strongholds. Jesus didn't pull down demonic strongholds over communities. Paul didn't do it. Peter didn't do it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John didn't do it. None of the 12 disciples did it. Why should we do it? Jesus has already defeated Satan and demon powers. Did you write those scriptures down that I just gave to you so you can go home and look up in 1 John 3:8 that he's already defeated Satan? So you can look up in 1 Corinthians 2:6 that he's already defeated Satan? So you can look up in Colossians 2:14 and 15 that he's already defeated Satan? So you can look up in Hebrews 2:14 and 15 he's already defeated him who had the power of death? Satan is a defeated foe. We don't need to be doing warfare with him and pulling down strongholds. Jesus said, bind the strong man and then plunder his house. Say, Satan, I bind you. End of story. In Jesus' strong name. That's all you have to do. You know, the devil would prefer you get over here in the corner and do warfare with him all night in unbelief because he knows it's not biblical and he don't have to obey you. I'm going and blowing today. Time spent in warfare with Satan and demon powers is time spent in unbelief, in ignorance of Scripture, and time that could be better spent praising God and bringing Him on the scene. Spiritual warfare is a lie. You can't go back to the cross and do what Jesus has already done. Talk about stupidity gone to seed. They don't realize that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to redo. Spiritual warfare is trying to redo what Jesus did at Calvary. Amen? Hallelujah. Go to Luke chapter 17 if you would, wonderful people. Amen? We're talking about the power of praise. Amen? Hallelujah. Foolish counsel says pray in tongues against the devil, war in tongues and pull down strongholds. That'll get the devil. We don't have to get the devil. Jesus has already gotten the devil. You don't need to get the devil. You need to get hip to the script. It would be funny if it wasn't so pathetic. Amen? You never saw Jesus pull down the principality of Jerusalem, did you? Did you ever see Peter tell the Prince of Galilee, come down in Jesus' name? Then we shouldn't do it. If you could pull them, they are up there, but we bind them. We don't pull them down. What would you do if you got one of them to come down? I'll tell you what you'd do. You'd be running to CVS for another box of Depends. You think about that. You'd be running for a box of adult diapers. Because you wouldn't know what to do with him if you got him to come down here. He's not going to obey anyway. Amen? They get to stay right where they are until Revelation chapter 20 when the angel comes to lock them in the pit. I'm just admonishing you today. Pastoral counsel. Don't get caught up in the spiritual warfare lie that is coming to Cape Cod through the glory of God on Cape Cod movement. Don't buy it. There's no scripture. They give you a whole lot of Old Testament scripture taken out of context, but they don't give anything from the New Testament to prove that's what we should be doing. Because they ain't got them, baby. It's not there. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, bind him and plunder his house. Amen. Now, where are you? Luke chapter 17. Did you write down those scriptures in Colossians and Hebrews and 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 1 John 3:8? We could give you more. Hallelujah. But we got to move forward. Amen. Look at the time already. Amen. But it's good, isn't it? Amen. Hallelujah. And I asked you to go where? Find my place right here. Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, hold the horse till I get on. Are you there?
Amen.
Say, keep going, Pastor.
Keep going,
Pastor. It's good. Keep going, Pastor.
Keep going, Pastor.
Okay, T, will you do what I ask you to do, please? Luke 17, chapter, let's start right here in verse 11. Everyone say 11. And it came to pass, as Jesus went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and he entered into a certain village. There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. It was a rule. Had to be a football field length away, 300 feet. They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he spied them out a football field length away, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And when it came to pass as they went, they were what?
Cleansed.
Please make note of that word. They were cleansed. That means the leprosy stopped. I looked the word up again yesterday just to be sure. The leprosy staunched. It just stopped eating away at their body. And one of them, how many lepers were there? Only one of them, when he saw he was healed, he turned back with a loud voice and glorified, that means worshipped, God, when you look it up. He fell down on his face at Jesus' feet. He had to run 300 yards, the full length of a football field, to fall at Jesus' feet to worship him and thank him for what was happening in his body, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. He wasn't even a Jew. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God except this stranger? And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith, whose faith? His own faith. Thy faith hath made thee what? 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 Do you know what that word means? Initially, 10 lepers were cleansed. It means the leprosy that was eating their nose, eating their toes, eating their eyes, eating their limbs, stopped. But the limbs were still gone. The eyeball was still gone. The nose was still gone. They were cleansed. They weren't healed. This dude came back. fell at Jesus' feet and gave him praise and thanks, he was healed. His fingers grew back. His eyeball grew back if it was gone. His nose, his ears. He was healed all through the power of praise. Can you see that? Oh, glory be to God. Go to Acts chapter 16. We'll look at another example. We're talking about the power of praise. And I want to remind you again, there is a time to fast and pray, and we'll be talking about those times in the very near future. But then there's a time to eat, believe God, and praise Him. Amen? Barbara and I spend time together every day just praising Him. Praising Him. You know, you're going to Acts chapter 16. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 17, when you pray in other tongues to God, he said, verily thou givest thanks well. That's King of Jameth for, it's the best way to give him praise. Verily thou givest thanks well. You look up that word well, it says perfect. Paul said the best way to give God praise and thanks is to do it in other tongues. There aren't enough adjectives in English or Polish or whatever, Italian or French, whatever language is your national language. You don't have enough adjectives to properly worship Him and properly praise Him. So God made a way where you could do it anyway. It's called tongues. Bro segi perando, mambrende ki sergoso kuparadeke. Oh, from enigisho kuparadeke there. Afro prendeke, I love you, I love you. You can do that. Hallelujah. My husband will think I'm nuts if I do. Get out in the car and do it. Go drive out in the car. Frabe, Gabriel, it's a spiritual exercise. You can do natural things while you're praising Him. I'm telling you, if you have fasted and you've prayed, you've whined, you've cried, you've paid tithes, you've paid offerings, you've done everything you know to do, and you're still not, you've been fasting, you've been praying, and you're not getting anywhere in God. It's time to set all that aside and take up your battle station of praise. Begin to praise Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to praise Him for saving your family. Begin to praise Him for healing your finances, healing your body. And you will see Him move supernaturally. Amen? People who petition perpetually do not receive anywhere near as proficiently as people who praise perfectly. We just saw that with the lepers. We saw it with Israel. We saw it with Job. This just comes a time when you have to put everything aside and give Him what He deserves. Praise and glory and worship. Amen. Are you there in Acts chapter 16? We'll close with this. Amen. Do you get anything out of this? Do you realize that every single one, and you're not reading Acts chapter 16, amen? Hallelujah, because we don't want you to miss. Every single one of Paul's letters open with the most glorious expressions of praise. Every single one. In spite of the hell and the persecution that that man went through in life, every single one of Paul's epistles, Paul's letters, open with the most glorious expressions of praise unto God. That's how he walked in the power that he did. Constantly praising God. 13 times in the book of Acts alone, Paul was stoned and dragged out of town, persecuted at times, left for dead for preaching the gospel. And let me just tell you, if your experience with God has been nothing but peace and joy and balloons and sunshine, you're out of the will of God. Because persecution always follows people who preach the word of God. If you're not being persecuted, get on your knees and ask God where you are out of His will. He'll show you, you can correct it, and the persecution will start coming again fast and furious. And you can know I'm in the will of God. Because the devil's threatened by how close I'm hitting the bullseye.
Amen. That's right.
The more people are persecuted for preaching the word, the closer they are to the bullseye. Amen? So if your relationship with God is all lovey-dovey, peaches and roses, you got some repenting to do. It's rock of ages, not pillow of ages. It's, oh, how I love Jesus, not, oh, how I like Jesus. Amen? Persecution always follows the word. But you know God's favor always rides in on the tail of persecution? Whenever the devil persecutes you, if it's maintained in your stand on God's word, favor. Somehow, God always turns it into good, and favor rides in on the tail of persecution. And you know what rides on the tail of favor? Persecution. And you know what rides on the tail of persecution? Favor. And how long is it going to go on, Pastor? Till Jesus comes. When do I get to stop using my faith? Never. This is just how it is. Amen? Where are you? In Acts chapter 16, just praise Him through it. Praise Him through it. Praise Him through it. And He'll move. He inhabits the praises of His people. You need God to show up on the scene. Time to start praising Him. Amen? You can do it quietly on the inside on the job too. Amen? Just do it! He deserves our praise. He's worthy of our praise. Now here in Acts chapter 16, and you're not reading ahead of me, because you know the drill around here. Amen? Paul had been being tormented and harassed by a woman with a spirit of divination, following him around. She had a spirit on the inside of her. He's out trying to preach the gospel. This old girl's full of the devil. She's following him all around town, saying, these men are anointed of the Most High God, and they've come to show us the way of salvation. These men are anointed of the Most High God, and they've come to show us the way of salvation. Paul finally turned around and said, shut up and come out of her. And she was instantly delivered by that of that fortune-telling spirit. And the men who owned that woman, who were making a profit off of her supernatural ability to tell fortunes, became infuriated that she couldn't tell fortunes anymore. Now they're going to go broke. So they accused Paul and Silas to the Roman magistrates of trying to introduce a false god to Rome. They just lied. Oh, I know what that's like. To have people just make up the most despicable things about yourself and your wife because you're preaching the gospel in an uncompromised manner. Amen? Well, that's what they did to him. They told the Roman magistrates they're trying to introduce false gods to Rome, and that was against the law in Rome. They had their national religion. They didn't want any other gods, and all other gods were illegal. So Paul got arrested. And he got stripes above measure, the Bible says. That means he got more than 39 stripes, him and Paul, on their back and thrown into prison for delivering that girl of those evil spirits. Now here they are in prison in Acts chapter 16. Let's pick it up together in verse 23. Are you there? Are you getting anything out of this? Amen. And when they had laid many stripes on them, say many. That's a lot of stripes. And you know they'd whip them the way Jesus got whipped. They'd whip them with a whip that had pieces of steel and glass on the end of it that would grab your flesh at your shoulders and rip it down to your buttocks. Now here they are in stocks and bonds. Now come to think of it, if you look at me, I don't know how anybody can say that prosperity isn't of God, because here we find Paul in Silas involved in stocks and bonds. And then as I think even further back into the Old Testament, I recall how Noah was able to float his stock while the rest of the world went into liquidation. But we're not talking about prosperity, are we? We're talking about the power of praise. Amen? And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, the deepest, darkest prison, and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, please notice, Paul and Silas prayed. That word prayed, if you look it up in the Greek, is worshipped. And sang praises, or gave celebratory song, it says, unto God in the midnight of their lives. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm. We are all here." We won't go any further than that. I want you to see that in the midnight of their lives, in the deepest, darkest midnight of their lives, their backs ripped open, vital organs exposed for something they didn't do, in stocks and bonds, in the deepest, darkest prison. Are you in the deepest, darkest prison of your life possibly today, as you listen to me here or by recording? Your means of escape is the power of praise. There comes a time to stop fasting and praying. There comes a time to stop petitioning. There comes a time to stop whining and complaining and bawling and squalling and blaming God for doing what the devil's doing and start praising God. Now if you'd stand up, please. Amen. It's time to give Him the praise, the glory, and the honor that He is due. We read together at the beginning, I was going to say of this broadcast, at the beginning of this message, "Let thy people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us." It worked for Israel. It'll work for you. It worked for Job. It'll work for you. It worked for the 10 lepers. It worked even better for the 1 leper who came back. He experienced the supernatural that the other 9 didn't by the power of praise. It worked for Paul and Silas. God knocked that whole stinking prison house down and let everybody in the place go free because of the power of Paul and Silas's praise. Lift your hands and praise Him if you would today. Lift your hands and give Him the praise and the glory and the honor. You need to go out of here today praising Him. You need to go out of here worshiping Him and praising Him for His goodness. I don't know what you need. I don't know what you need to be rid of. But I do know that people of power are people of praise. Amen. Jehoshaphat and Israel put an end to praying and they took up the battle stations of praise. Amen. You'll get what they got if you will do what they did. The Bible says as you continue to worship God in His holiness and in His goodness, He said there is no temptation, there is no test, no trial, but such as is common to man. And with every temptation and test and trial that we go through, God will provide the means of escape. How? Through the power of praise. Do you believe what you heard here today? Amen. You got no privacy at home? Hit the road. Do it in the car. Just do it. You can praise God anywhere. Praise is the language of faith. It is the absolute greatest expression of faith that a man or a woman can make before God. And God said, without faith it's impossible to please Me. For he and she who cometh unto Me must not only believe that I exist, but that I am a rewarder of those who diligently seek Me. How? Through the power of praise. I send you out with this word from the Lord today. You go and you praise Him. You go and you do a little thing and praise Him, and He will come and do a big thing and bless you in every realm of your existence. Do you believe that? Do you believe it?
Amen.
Hallelujah.